Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Congratulations on making it to the latter half of the week. That is no small feat. You should be incredibly proud of yourselves. I know I am.
I am as well. It's been a great week so far. Florida Toast still going strong. I see that you're wearing my slippers. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize that had happened.
No, these belong to me now.
Aren't they gorgeous? We're both actually wearing, these are the Skakin PR slippers, and those are Skims Hotel slippers.
Oh, but I didn't realize they were Skims. No wonder I've been just like gravitating towards them. Speaking of Skims, Jackie got me the nicest gift. Like, so unnecessary, by the way. Like, I wasn't even expecting a gift. And you were like, I got you something. And I thought it was like, you know, like a novelty, like
one of
silly,
our like dumb gift exchange
not
items.
Like a thoughtful, expensive, real like present. And I was so not expecting it. I got the Skakin exfoliator. I used it last night. It like I had the longest day yesterday. You guys know I only got 2 hours of sleep. Then we just like worked all day. We had the spritz meet and greet, which was amazing. By the time I got home taking my makeup off from the morning, I was just exhausted. And so I took a bath and I really like cultivated a nice vibe. I'm like, let me do my Skakin exfoliator. And I was like gonna cry. I'm like, this is luxury. It was so rich. Like it was, first of all, product-wise, product review, loved it.
I told you, the exfoliator's on another level.
It like if you get one product
from Skakin,
that I think should be it. I mean, I haven't used any, I use a moisturizer, but you know, there are a lot of good moisturizers.
Yes.
I don't have like, I use an Ole Henriksen exfoliator at home. I'm like, it's fine.
I think I use a Kiehl's one. It's fine. I've never had an exfoliating experience like that. And I know you are very into exfoliators. So I wanted to get it for you. And then I was like, when you're here, it'll be the perfect time.
It was so nice and I loved it. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And Ben and Margo got here late last night. They're enjoying the Florida vibes already. Ben wanted me to praise you on your homemaking skills. Like Ben had a long day too. You know, he was up early working in Atlanta, got back to your house at midnight.
Yeah.
And got into the bed. He was like, this is just, he took a shower. There's been a lot of talk about the shower in your guest room. I've been taking baths every night, so I haven't experienced it, but everyone in town is talking about it.
Yep.
And Ben was like, that shower. I'm like, no, I know. I got to experience it. I got to get in there.
Yeah. When you have to wash your hair, do it.
Yeah. And then he slept like so nice. And he was just like premium. He wanted me to say premium, job well done.
That means so much. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys are having a nice time. I'm so glad everyone's here now. It's a full house. Bryce and Magnolia are reunited. Nature is healing. The love has not been lost whatsoever. They picked up right where they left off. And we can all just enjoy.
Do you think it's gross to drink from a can that you opened yesterday morning?
Why would it be gross?
I don't know, because like it's been open for 24 hours, like with just chilling, like...
I don't think it's gross. It's just whatever's in there is probably not very good.
Well, I opened a Pellegrino can yesterday and I guess I didn't finish it and I was just feeling really thirsty and so I drank it. It was delicious, by the way. And thanks to the air conditioning in the studio, it was like it was in the fridge. It's cold. I was just wondering if that's gross. Like
the only reason why I, with a can, it's different because it's a smaller hole, but like with a large cup, like you could get over the course of a day
dust,
some dust in it.
A bug.
But it's small. Oh, a bug. A bug. I didn't think about a bug. And there's so many bugs down here.
You're telling me.
Critters crawling.
Creepy critters.
Lizards.
Shake it for the birds. Shake it for the bees. Shake
and
it
the
for
frogs.
The
at night, the frogs gather on my patio and they stand there in a line waiting for the Streis brothers. They say, come out. Come out wherever you are. We would love to kill you.
No, there's literally like enemies in your own front yard.
Mm-hmm. No, the Streis brothers are under attack.
It's disgusting. And now they have a lady to protect, so they really need to get their shit together.
Yeah, but there was just like three. Also, question, sound off in the comments. Are all frogs deadly for dogs or just a certain kind of toad? Also, what's the difference between a frog and the toad?
That, I think, is one of the better questions we've asked here because I've literally no fucking idea. And if you ever are a dog owner who happens to live in Florida where there's like this frog, there's this
killer
war.
Frog community.
Yeah.
It's a war.
What are your tips and tricks? Like, you're obviously doing the thing with your yard, but that takes a couple weeks. What are good tips to like keep dogs safe in Florida? I didn't realize there was like this, it's literally like a pandemic for the dogs.
Yeah, no, there's constant threats.
Constant threats. It's time these boys had a little excitement, honestly.
Yeah.
Life in New York was too easy for them.
They're escaping death every day.
No, and then when they lay their pet on their pillow at night, it's like they deserve it. Like, they worked hard. They evaded death.
Yeah.
Oh, Theo's scratching at the door.
There's someone at the door, but
he'll figure it out.
I'm not getting
it. It's like, when, you know how Andy has the doorbell? Like, when he has special guests, we have like scratches at your door. And it's Theo. So we did our Spritz meet and greet last night in Fort Lauderdale. We met so many toasters. I think it was our most populated, not most attended event. It was so nice to meet everyone like who lives here. So many people who live here like literally just moved here. So
yes.
A lot of people who could relate to your experience.
Yes, it was a great group of toasters. It was so fun to meet everyone. And it was so fun to do the meet and greet together.
I know we've never done. Well, we've done one.
5 years ago.
And we haven't done a Spritz one together. And when I got home, I was like so tired from talking, like my jaw hurt.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun. So thank you to everyone who came out and supported Spritz. We really appreciate that. And we just appreciate life and these flamingos, obviously.
Of course. I'm going to miss them when you go. And then I go back to my leave side of things.
But I'll be back.
You will be. When do you think you'll be back?
I don't know. Definitely your birthday, which is, I'm not saying nothing before that, but at least we have one trip on the books for sure. Your 30th birthday is in November.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'll probably come down like for a bunch of episodes, like when I'm on tour, like nearby. Okay. Like I have to go to Nashville.
Alabama.
Right. I have to go to Nashville.
Yep.
So I feel like it actually would probably be beneficial for me to like spend time here in between some of those shows.
That's so true.
So I can chill, do premium podcasts, relax, recharge for shows, and then have shorter flights.
It's so true.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, sounds good. I'm also starting to theorize about when I'm going to come up to New York for a visit.
That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
No, and like the way I tore apart our studio, I don't know how we're gonna go back to like our regular episodes. Like, I literally, you won't recognize it. Like, it's so different. And I moved all the equipment, like, and I unplugged a lot of things. So we're just gonna need some help getting that back together.
Okay, or we could stay here.
I love podcasting here. Can I just say, like, enjoy it immensely. Let's talk about yesterday's episode, how it's becoming like a critically acclaimed episode. We were so funny.
Yeah.
We covered so many different topics. And the stories were great. And people are just like, they're adding it to their Google Doc, their list of episodes to send to other people, like that they've been trying to get, you know, a friend or a family member into the toast. And there's like certain episodes that'll do it. And I do believe yesterday was one of them.
I love that. I mean, you were really the star of yesterday's episode.
No,
so
I was with merely...
With your recap of the Turpin sisters.
Right. No, and now that I've become like a public Turpin girl, like person, I've been getting so much information. So there was a lawsuit filed 3 weeks ago.
Against who?
Against the state or like the foster care system.
Good.
Because docs revealed that six of the foster kids who were taken from the Turpin house into foster homes were victims of abuse. Again, emotional, physical abuse. So the story is unfolding. And I do believe other adult children have started to identify themselves on social media.
Okay.
So it's just, it's unraveling slowly. We just need to keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've got a great show. It's Thursday, which means I didn't watch Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last night, even though I am all caught up. But that's because I was busy meeting and greeting. So I feel like that's a good excuse.
We were so busy.
We were meeting and then we were greeting.
We were doing both.
But sometimes we greeted and then we meted.
Yeah, met.
Oh, thank you. So I feel like let's dive in.
Let's dive in to the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. And today's episode is brought to you by Scout Design Studio.
By the way, I have been getting messages like, please tell me Jackie has a code for Scout. We do.
So Scout is a furniture store based in Dallas where I have gotten so much of the furniture for my new house, including these two chairs that we're sitting on right now.
Did we order one for my studio?
We ordered one from your studio and then I ordered another one for my solo endeavors here. These chairs are just taking over the world. They're called the Lana Ivory Boucle chairs. I say Boucle, but I think it's Boucle.
The thing about Boucle is that it's really, it's interpretive.
Mm-hmm.
Boucle.
Boucle is more personal than comedy.
So true.
I have a bunch of other pieces from Scout in my house already. The lamps in your room.
Is the bench from my room from Scout?
The bench in your room. It's another Boucle bench. It's from Scout. And I also have more stuff coming. They also have a sickening art collection. All different kinds of art. I have some wonderful pieces coming. Also, what's so funny, before I started working with Scout on my house, everyone was tagging me in this piece of art from Scout. It says, fuck around and find out, in ombre, and it's like patterned. And it's so cool. And I'm actually getting one. I will put it in the studio because it's so apt.
That's iconic.
It's iconic.
People were tagging me in that too. Like, send this to Jackie, send this to Jackie. And then I'm like, you were telling me about Scout. I'm like, I think that's the place.
The fuck around and find out place.
Right, right.
So they have gorgeous furniture. They have an incredible collection of art. Check them out at scoutdesignstudio.com. Use code TOAST for 15% off of your first order.
And they ship.
They ship. Everywhere.
Everywhere. So maybe I'll start checking. Oh, actually,
and you could do your apartment refresh.
Wait, you know that I'm refreshing my apartment and I'm working with a designer and she sent me all these different options. And half of this stuff was from Scout.
Oh, I love that.
Use code TOAST.
And we could be, use code TOAST.
You're like, I want the discount too.
We could be twinning in girlies. New York and here.
Yeah, keeping the same energy.
And that's what we do with everything. We all have the same couch.
No, that's because
Olivia's getting that bench from Scout.
One thing about me is if I see something I I am going to copy the other person.
Of course.
Which is an annoying trait, except I don't pretend I came up with it on my own. I'm acknowledging the copying and I feel like that makes it okay.
Except for the Spanx pants.
Okay, I feel like I acknowledge that you were the one who told me to get them, but then I made it my personality trait.
Yeah.
Same with reading.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I just got a partnership with Spanx because I sold so many pants. So thanks, Jax.
Yeah, but you know what? That's on. I can take ownership in the fact that I never posted the link. You know?
You did.
I can own that. And maybe I should have. And maybe it would have been my partnership.
100%. But you know what? Rising tides rise all tides. So it's a partnership for one is a partnership for all. I feel a partnership for you is literally around the corner.
Yeah, no.
Seeing the power of the toast, you know? Who wouldn't want to work with us?
I'm happy for you.
No, I would be annoyed for sure, so. I would. I'm acknowledging, I would be fucking annoyed. I'm like, bitch, I literally gave you that idea and you're running to the bank? I'd be fucking annoyed.
I'm happy for you.
You know what? I feel like you deserve a commission on it, honestly. Okay. I'll tell the business manager.
Okay, maybe we could
0.1% to Jackie.
Maybe we all could have partnerships.
No, I just think, Spanx. I think we should all have a partnership with Spanx. And I feel like maybe after they see this episode, things will change.
Yeah, just know, I actually got a targeted Facebook ad. That's how I found those white pants.
Really?
Yes, I got them. I love them. I thought they were so sleek and sophisticated. And I know that you're on this sophisticated journey. And I was like, Claudia, these pants would be amazing on you.
No, and first of all, that was so thoughtful of you. Those pants have changed my summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need those pants in another color. Why do they only offer them in white?
And they have a similar version in a silver.
Yeah.
And that's just not what I'm looking for.
What about a nude? That would be nice.
Everything.
A light pink, maybe a black.
Everything.
Yeah, it's the perfect pant. Come in another color, please. Not all of us want to wear white.
Come in every color. Summer's almost over.
Right. 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 So Scout, thank you so much for that. 15% off.
Thank you, Scout. Code TOAST. TOAST.
Are you going to get the iPad?
Oh, I guess.
How's life with the new iPad? This is week one, day four.
I'm going to be honest because the iPad is great, no shade to it. But I was really excited about this keyboard because then I could type things easier. But it's not easy to type with the Shrice Brothers on my lap every day.
Not only that, I was using your iPad and the dimensions of the keyboard are different than the dimensions of a classic laptop. And the way I was typing, not English, because my fingers, you're used to the same exact keyboard, even if it's a Dell computer, it's the same spacing between letters.
Yeah.
Generally, it's the same size. But this is a scaled down version of it. And I was literally typing gibberish.
Okay, that doesn't bother me. But the fact that I can't fold the keyboard behind the iPad and then read this, and then I want to take the iPad off, but then I lose the keyboard and it's why'd I get a new iPad?
No, totally. You should. I was using your iPad to put in the data for the episode and I was trying to flip the thing. That should go backwards.
It should go backwards.
It doesn't.
Design flaw. Okay, so I'm gonna do my best here. Okay, you know what? I'm just kidding. Taking it off. Hopefully we don't have to Google anything today.
No, because we're literally encyclopedias of knowledge.
Encyclopedias. Our first story, Jonah Hill, former love of Ruthie mm-hmm. will no longer promote his films to avoid anxiety attacks. He says, and it's an important step to protect myself. In an open letter penned to fans, the Wolf of Wall Street actor revealed that he will not promote his upcoming documentary, Stutz, which he directed when it hits the film festival circuit later this year. He also wrote that he will skip press tours and public events for upcoming projects, citing his years-long battle with anxiety and panic attacks as part of his decision. Quote, I have finished directing my second film, a documentary about me and my therapist, which explores mental health in general, called Stutz. The whole purpose of making this film is to give therapy and the tools I've learned in therapy to a wide audience for private use through an entertaining film, his letter began per Rolling Stone. Quote, through this journey of self-discovery within the film, I have come to the understanding that I've spent nearly 20 years experiencing anxiety attacks, which are exacerbated by media appearances and public-facing events. He went on to write that he is so grateful that the film will premiere at a prestigious film festival this fall, noting that he is excited to share the project with the world in the hope that it will help those who are struggling. However, you won't see me out there promoting this film or any upcoming films while I take this important step to protect myself. If I made myself sicker by going out there and promoting it, I wouldn't be acting true to myself or to the film.
No, that's so true, especially because it's a mental health film. Mm-hmm. And this is so great for him. I know this is like... You get to a certain level where you're allowed to do this. I think a lot of people would love to not do it. I think a lot of people struggle. Those events are like really chaotic. I think a lot of people have been open about that. But you have to get to a certain level where like you're employable even if you don't do media, because media is half the job. You right. go and act in something and then the months afterwards are the other half of
promotion.
The job. So it's the way that like the industry works, that like not everyone is going to be able to book roles if they don't agree to media. So this is obviously like a privilege, and you know what, like good for him, because you got to protect your space.
Yeah. I do feel like he's one of these actors who's really in it for the art
yeah.
and wants to like act and loves the craft mm-hmm. and also loves directing and is not interested in the fame side of things. And I feel like if he even had to choose between some roles, if you know, if he is not doing media and that doesn't work, he would be okay turning that down because he's only interested at this point in the acting.
Right. He has like artistic integrity.
Also, I'm sure this is unintentional, but this is actually really good press for the movie.
Of course.
Because he's prioritizing his mental health. The movie's about mental health. Also, it is a big announcement and it's promoting
press,
the movie.
Right.
But no, but it's also just like the life imitating art piece mm-hmm. where it's like, I've come to this decision, and you can watch the movie to find out how and why.
It's literally life imitating art.
Yeah.
And now it just feels like there is this opportunity, like there, like he will not be attending events and that there's room for one more. So I am available. And if anybody needs me on a red carpet in lieu of Jonah, I'm a great time. I love to look glamorous. I'll make you some clickbaity type of headlines. I can be bought is what I'm saying.
I think that would be really cool. I would like to nominate Ruthie to go to those events instead of Jonah.
Or with him, and maybe he'd feel, you know, more at ease, more comfortable with like a safe space by his side.
Like a rock on his arm.
Right. It'll actually like stabilize
ground
him. Thank you. That was the word I was looking for.
It would ground him. I do think that he could also use a Ruthie in his life, and that, you know, that would also cause a lot of positive change. But I'm not going to go down this road.
Well, that's the lesson here, is that like, find your Ruthie.
Find your Ruthie and don't let her go.
No, because Jonah made that mistake once and
he continues to pay for it, honestly.
Continues.
Like every relationship that he's so stoked about
pales in comparison to Ruthie.
What he could have had with Ruthie.
100%. Not to be annoying, but your mic flag is upside down again.
Well, here's why. Because I'm constantly changing the mm-hmm. position of my microphone. When I'm reading, it's down here. When we go to do... When like a deer toasters, mm-hmm. I go this way. So I'm between flags. I'm between flags. Yeah. And you know what? I like this about myself.
Okay.
And soon you're going to be between flags too and be like, being between
and
flags.
And then I'm going to get a sponsorship with between two flags. No, I'll get a sponsorship with six flags because I'm talking about it so much.
Because you have so many flags yeah, in different right. positions. And you'll be like,
I'll literally get a sponsorship with the company that made this. I think it's called like PBS or something.
You'll be like, being between two flags is the best thing ever.
Yeah, no, I can't believe there was a time in my life when I wasn't between two flags. Hashtag ad.
And I'll just be sitting here, womp, womp, womp.
No, that would literally be like if I got a sponsorship with like Kindle.
Oh my God.
Because like you, not only did you like try so hard to get me to read for so many years and I was like so stubborn. Then I started reading and you were like, Kindle. I'm like, no, I'm like a real
and like
girl.
A real girl.
Yeah, yeah. And now like Kindle's my personality.
Yeah, no. And the Kindle that you had up until last week was
mine. Yours. Yeah. Oh my God. That's so fucked up.
Yeah. Oh, that I think
would
things
hurt.
You can have. Really, most things. I love to share.
No, you're very good with that.
But yeah, no, I think that would cut deep.
Yeah.
Also, yesterday at the meet and greet, people brought their Kindles for us to sign, and I actually don't think I've ever been so honored and flattered.
Yeah, that was cool because it's so permanent.
It's so permanent, and it's like we're fixtures in the reading community, which I had a feeling, you know, Redheads does its thing.
Of course.
But that's pretty cool.
No, it's extremely cool how like when people think of reading, they think of you. Like that's cool.
So cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's never too late to become a redhead. Our next book is A Snitch's Choice, which is when most people do become redheads because it's a pretty easy barrier to entry.
Right.
Except Snitch is doing a little something different. We're reading a book called Everything I Know About Love by Dolly Alderton. It just became a series on Peacock, or it's coming out like next week. So it's perfect timing.
I've been seeing this book everywhere, like outside of the redhead. So it's like a good relevant choice.
Yeah. And I think it's more... Snitch is always like rom-com, erotica. I think it's still like cute and fun like that, but a little more in the, not self-help, but like...
introspective.
Memoir mm-hmm. territory. I actually do think it's a memoir.
I love the name Dolly.
Yeah.
What name do you like name your child that you like nickname them Dolly? Dahlia?
Yeah. Or you just go full Dolly.
Yeah. But I like a nickname.
I like a nickname too.
What's Dolly Parton's full name? Definitely Dolly.
Or it's like not even that.
Right. It's like Sarah.
Yeah.
Right. That's like Kiki Palmer's name is Lauren.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And her middle name is Lauren. Like it starts with a K. So everyone thinks that her name is Kiki because her middle name is K. But no, actually, it was just like a family nickname. That's it's giving so snitch cute. Energy. Like
100%.
Yeah. I have like I've always loved Kiki Palmer, but like my new favorite thing to do is like when I'm getting ready to be watching random interviews she does, because there's just like gorgeous little tidbits of her being so fucking funny. And I just recommend spending like wasting your days away doing that. I watched her Hot Ones interview. Her Hot Ones is like one of the most critically
sure
acclaimed.
It's so good.
Because it was like, now everyone does Hot Ones. It's like a stop on the press tour. But she was like one of the first, not first, but like, but back when it wasn't like a popular thing to do, she did it. And like the Hot Ones community regards her episode as like one of the top ones. She was so funny.
Oh, I would love to watch that.
She went all the way up to like the, what do they do, 10 wings. And like she literally might as well have been eating a salad. Like she didn't feel a thing. Whereas like if I ever did that, like the first one is usually like the store-bought like sriracha, I'd be dead on the floor. I cannot eat spicy shit.
No, like you actually couldn't be famous because you can't do that. You can't do like eat the one with James Corden.
Oh my God, spill your guts. No, I just literally be telling everyone everything.
Spill your guts or fill your guts.
No, like
yeah.
Sometimes I'm like up at night and I'm like really worried. Like I would literally have to spill my guts.
Yeah.
No, there's so many things like that. Are required when you're a celebrity that actually are torture. Like even those days, like for photo shoots where you're literally up at 6 doing glam, checking outfits, you're literally working for 12 hours before you even get to in front of the camera. So that shit looks horrible.
Yeah.
It's so hot. Oh my God. Like no. Mm. And people are like putting you in makeup and clothes that like you have no approval on. Like you're just the muse. Fuck that.
Mm.
No.
Mm.
If it ain't loose fitting, I don't want it.
If it ain't the Spanx white pants.
Right. And if like the glam isn't literally like a black line and a nude lipstick, please stay the fuck away from me.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Kanye is in some hot water for selling Yeezy Gap clothes in large garbage bags. And he says he's not here to sit up and apologize about my ideas. Mm-hmm. So Kanye has been facing backlash for selling his new Yeezy Gap clothing line in what appear to be trash bags. They show pictures of these large, not trash bags, but...
like
black plastic bags, saying this is how they're selling Yeezy Gap. The sales associate said Kanye got mad when he saw they had it on hangers, mm-hmm. and this is how he wanted it. They won't help you find your size, too. You just have to dig through everything. So Kanye said, quote, I'm an innovator, and I'm not here to sit up and apologize about my ideas. That's exactly what the media tries to do, make us apologize for any idea that doesn't fall under exactly the way they want us to think.
So obviously, like as a shopper, if I walked into a store, like I wouldn't, you know, enjoy this experience of rummaging through a bag for my size. But it's not like Kanye doesn't have, like this was an intentional choice. It's like, I think he's thinking of it as some sort of like art display. And mm-hmm. I don't understand art, but I believe that's what he's doing. And while it wouldn't be a pleasant shopping experience for me, he's made it clear in more ways than one that like he is an artist. He doesn't do things conventional ways. And this is the way he's doing it. And there are his fans of him and fans of Yeezy, like, will be excited by this. It's like a different way. Personally, like, it wouldn't be fun for me, but like, I respect the artistic choice, you know?
Yeah. He said the clothing display intends to make life easier and informal so that we can all basically dress in the dark.
Right. It's like a statement on something. It's art. Like,
it's a statement on something, but like, practically, you know, that's not how I want to shop. Like, when I could shop online, mm-hmm. I could just like go to a rack that I like and then go to my size.
No, like refine, price, low to high, size, XL.
Right. But this is a shopping experience whilst making a statement and participating in an art installation. And if that is for you, enjoy. And if it's not, just go to shopmorningtoast.com and you can just shop by your size and the item that you want.
That's really, really good advice. Also, like, I don't understand like the backlash to this. Like, don't go.
Right.
Backlash, like, I have such a problem with backlash culture. Like, you want to make a statement on why this is problematic, so literally don't buy it. Like, no one's forcing you.
Right. And it's not,
like this is, you need this to live.
No, and there, it's not like you went to the stores and it was chaos and there's clothes everywhere and garbage bags because they didn't get it on the hangers.
Right, like it's messy. Like,
you don't like his art.
Intentional, yeah.
Then, I mean, I personally don't get it and that's not how I want to shop. But
no,
a lot of times Kanye's like ahead of, you know, the,
right.
the joggers. Like,
right.
So I will wait and see on this, but I really just don't see how it's practical.
I don't think it's going to become like a trend. I just think like it's an artistic choice and people with the backlash, like if he was putting oxygen that people need to breathe and selling it like this, that would be problematic. You don't like the experience? Like, don't go. You don't have to write a whole fucking tweet about it. Okay. Like, about why it's problematic. We really don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Oh, sorry. No, continue.
Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Spritz Society.
It is, it is.
Soak up summer with Spritz Society. These sparkling cocktails aren't like most. They're made with real California white wine and natural fruit flavors. They're perfect for any occasion from pregame to poolside. And speaking of flavors, there's one for everyone. From the four originals, grapefruit, blood orange, pineapple, and lemon, to our flavor of the summer, peach. And if you can't decide on which one you want to try first, or you just love them all, try the ultimate Spritz taste test with the Variety 8-pack, and you can add peach to your cart to get the complete set. So Spritz Society, as you guys know, is a company that we founded that we're really proud of. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous canned beverage. You can get it at spritzsociety.com. We are sold in a couple states right now. We're in Florida. We're in Chicago. We're in
Texas.
We're in Boston.
Georgia.
California. At BevMo, we're in Total Wine. So if you just go to the SpritzSociety.com website, you can purchase directly from there and get it shipped to your house, or you can use a store locator to find a store near you. I know we're on Nantucket. Snitch was in Nantucket. She saw it in the liquor store. I know we're in some stores in the Hamptons. So we're in a bunch of different stores. Obviously, we're growing as fast as we can in terms of getting the product into stores. And a lot of the stores have peach already, but some of them don't. So if you want to guarantee you can get peach, which people are quaking. I think peach was like the number one sold last night at the meet and greet. It's so good. You can get it online, spritzsociety.com. And you can use code TOAST to get 10% off of the grapefruit, blood orange, pineapple, lemon, and peach flavors. All of our flavors, you can get 10% off at spritzsociety.com using code TOAST. Chars.
Chars, y'all.
Chars to the Buccaneers.
Our next story, Love is Blind season 2 couple, Ayana and Jarrett, are getting divorced. Ayana McNeely and Jarrett Jones, who said "I do" during season 2 of Love is Blind, are going their separate ways. The Netflix stars announced they are divorcing after nearly a year of marriage in a joint statement shared to Instagram on Wednesday. Quote, "After much thought, we're saddened to share that we have separated and will begin the process of divorcing." They told fans they still have love for each other, noting that their lives are simply going in different directions and coming to this decision was far from easy, and we'll always wish each other the best, yada, yada, yada. You get the point.
Like, if you watch, obviously this isn't the most surprising thing because like he had proposed to someone else literally a minute before. But they did end up getting married, and they did end up, I think, being married for at least a year, because
almost a year.
So At that point, I'm like, oh, maybe it was like editing and maybe they're just like legit. So I do find it surprising. Is this our first divorce, by the way?
From Love is Blind? Yes.
Because the first two couples are still married. The Hamiltons and Amber and Barnett, who both turned out to be like actual, like perfect matches for each other. It's crazy.
Is anyone else married from this season? Yes.
Yes. Nick and Danielle.
Yes. Okay. So at least they're still together.
And by the way, I have faith that they are meant for each other. Like, they just radiate the same energy.
Yeah. Except like where the dancing on the tables in her apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. And like her like getting the notovirus in Mexico and then yelling at him like to get out, which was relatable.
Yeah, but that's like real relationship, yes. Like how things go. And all of a sudden you're in a fight and you were like mad about something, you took it out on, and then now you're just like in a weird fight and you're watching him from the balcony talking to other people.
That literally happened last night, like with me and Ben. I was just so tired and I was like being rude because I got 2 hours of sleep and he got home late and he was like being chatty and I'm like, please, like, can I please go to bed? And he was like, we haven't seen each other like in a week, like, can we talk? And I was like, good night.
That's funny. You should have fallen asleep before he got there. That way he wouldn't like disturb you.
Yeah, but like I wanted to see him. I love him.
Yeah, you should
pretend. I should want to chat, you know? You should
pretend it to be asleep.
Ben has never not come home past 11 o'clock where I've been awake and not pretended to be asleep. I'm always. Because
like if you acknowledge that you're up, like then you are actually going to be up and they're going to think like it's okay.
No. Like I'm up and like.
I'm up, but I'm not up.
No. Sorry. I'll fake for a minute and then like jump out and scare him. Like I still want to see him. I'm just like, I want him to think I was asleep always.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, if I fake I'm going to sleep, I'm going to fall asleep in 5 minutes. If he knows that I'm awake, I'll be able to go to sleep in an hour.
Yeah. But Ben had I fake sleep so many times. Like he knows if my phone is even remotely close to me, that means like I heard the door open. I just like put my phone down and started sleeping. But if my phone is like on the nightstand, then he knows I'm really asleep.
Got it.
But now I know that he knows that. So I put the phone on the nightstand.
That's really funny.
It's one of my most annoying qualities as a wife, for sure.
That you fake sleeping and then scare him?
Yeah, I fake sleep. And like, usually he's like, oh, you're faking. And then I'm like, yeah. Oh, but sometimes
I didn't realize this was a thing between you two.
Sometimes I'll take it really far. He's like, I know you're faking. And then it like tickle me and I'll stay good. He's like, oh shit, she's asleep. And then he like goes to get dressed, whatever, get in the shower. I'm like, ah!
I can't.
It's so mean.
That is so mean.
Especially because if Ben ever did that to me, because I scare very easily, I would be so mad, like genuinely upset. He knows not to do it because I get so scared, especially at night.
No, that's really crazy. That's really crazy that you do that. I just feel like waking someone when they're sleeping is one of the rudest things that you could do.
It's so inhumane.
Yeah. And also sometimes if like Zach's coming in, I might be like in like drifting off and like, yes, technically I heard that you came in, but I'm not going to come out of my slumber for it.
That is extremely reasonable.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, of course. If you're like halfway there, you shouldn't stop.
No, don't turn back.
Don't turn back. Even though like for me, if I heard something while I was halfway there, I'm awake. In those first couple minutes, like leading into sleep, I'm extremely sensitive. Then a bomb could go off and I'm asleep. I'm not hearing it.
Got it. Well, you know, for Ayana and Jarrett, obviously they didn't have these things worked out. It's divorce for them.
I really liked Jarrett. I liked Ayana too. Like, I think that they were nice people, but I don't think they were a perfect match.
Me too. The way, like, I watched the season and then when I read this, I was just like, who? What? Oh, yeah. And then I was like, was that 5 years ago? No, 2 months ago.
That's the reality TV turnover rate these days. It's just like people come in and out of your brain in 30 seconds.
Yeah. This was faster than anything I've experienced.
Even though like the original Love is Blind season was such a cultural shift. Mm-hmm. I think it was when people really stopped watching The Bachelor, honestly. Like I think it had such an impact on reality TV that I remember everything that happened. I remember everyone's names.
Of course.
It was the best time of my life.
Yeah. No, it was peak living because it was also like
COVID.
Right before COVID, you know, things were in full swing. It was a great time. Cheer on Netflix.
Yeah.
But then Cheer season 2, womp womp.
It was fine. I mean, then the Jerry stuff like ruined it. It was
wompy.
Yeah.
It was wompy as hell.
And by then it wasn't this random thing nobody knew about. Then there was like a cult following. It's always more fun when there's a documentary on the most random fucking thing and like it galvanizes the nation.
Well, that leads us to our next story. I've never had a better segue in our whole career. Bama Rush is officially being turned into a documentary. So every fall, like clockwork, more and more TikTok users lose themselves in a very specific niche, Bama Rush videos. There's just something so captivating about the University of Alabama's hyper-meticulous sorority rush rituals that totally takes over TikTok for a full week in August. But now fans of the videos can dive into the craze even deeper because a Bama Rush documentary is being made to fully explore how preppy OOTD videos, viral dance battles, and over-the-top events turned one college campus into TikTok's favorite playground.
Wait, so is the documentary about like how it became viral or about Bama Rush like diving deep?
The documentary has been filming throughout this year's sorority recruitment week, which took place from August 6th to August 14th. And it is about
The virality.
The women, no, and the, just Bammer, the week. Quote, the film is a thoughtful and compassionate portrayal of young women in 2022 as they rush the sorority system at the University of Alabama. It will be Vice Studios producing the documentary in partnership with HBO Max, where it will almost certainly premiere as an streaming exclusive. So it will be about, you know, exactly what you see on TikTok. And then I imagine plus the TikTok element, like how they feel about it.
Right. So last year it was all about Michaela. What would Jimmy Buffett do? That was her username. And if you follow her, which I still do, she's been talking about this. Like, and she's, I don't know, she has like a weird take on it because I think like they wanted her to be a part of it and then it didn't work out. So her NDA was void. And then she like started going off on TikTok.
So is she like a sophomore now?
So she's a sophomore. And when she was a freshman, like she was, last year was the first year that it happened. So yeah, she was like the star. But there was like a few people who everyone was following. But her story got crazy because everyone was loving her. She was like so cute. And she like, okay, here's my outfit. And her pants were always from the pants store. And everyone was like, what the fuck is the pants store? But then she got dropped. And it was crazy. And then that's really what like turned this into like more of a real thing. Because everyone was like quietly following. And then we were like, wait, Michaela got dropped? We're Delta Gamma. So everyone was like, why did Michaela get dropped? And there were so many rumors and she had so many followers and she was going live. And there was like a video of her that had went viral when she was in high school. I think maybe it was even on Barstool, like, and she was just drunk. And like, there's really strict rules in Alabama, like when it comes to sororities, when it comes to drinking, vaping, your grades. So she got dropped. And then like, everyone moved on after that because the week was over. No, like there can't be internet proof of you being like a delinquent, even though that's literally what college is about. And that's what you do in a sorority.
Right.
But like front facing, they're like these philanthropic organizations. So you have to have like a really clean social media presence. And that video of her, and I think it had a lot to do with like the fact that she got really popular and that video resurfaced for that reason on TikTok. So she got dropped. And then this year it happened again. And it's just so interesting. Like all the girls who, it's funny, like on the first.
So she's not in a sorority. She's a sophomore, not in a sorority, yeah, but just an influencer, yes, on campus.
Which is also really good. Like,
right. Also nice.
Just as good, honestly. But then this year, when it first started, it's funny, it's like now everyone knows. So there were like a ton of really cute girlies, Southern girlies getting on, doing their outfits. It's Sisterhood Day. It's Paneletic Day or whatever. And then it's funny like how it weeds out. And then like a few, the algorithm chooses like a few people to keep moving forward. But like day one, you saw like 10 girls. Day two, you saw like 5. And now the star is, I think her name is Kaylin.
I've heard of her.
Hope you're having a great day, not just a good day. She had the slogan, which is a great marketing technique for anyone, you know, listening who might be going to University of Alabama next year. Get yourself a slogan. And on her first video that went viral, she was wearing the cutest pair of Gucci shorts. And she was wearing like Lululemon and all the comments were like, oh my God, there's a rich one. So everyone just became obsessed with her because she was like very, what's the word?
Aspirational.
Thank you so much. Oh my God, I couldn't find the word. She was very aspirational. And then she ended up being like really cute and really sweet. And she had this little slogan, this little phrase. It was a perfect recipe for virality. And I'm sure she will be a star of the documentary. She ended up getting Zeta. And, you know, they all go to the stadium. If you make it through the whole week without getting like dropped, you go to the stadium, you get an envelope and you like listen to this whole like panel and then they count down from 10. Like you cannot open the envelope until. So she was videoing 10, 9, 8. And she opens it and like she looked like kind of pissed. And she's like this really sweet, soft-spoken girl. And she was just like quiet. She like opened the video. She was like, I'm Zeta. And then ended the video.
Is that not the one she wanted, but it's the one she got?
She never told us what she wanted. I don't think you're allowed to, honestly, like.
I wonder if, like, I'm sure, you know, for all of us watching on TikTok, it's like, how could you not take Kaden?
Right.
We love her.
Right.
You know, she's the best in the class. But, like, when you're in it on campus, I wonder if being that person is actually not helpful at all.
I don't know. But they also say, like, what I've been diving deep into sorority culture. What they say is, like, you have to trust the system. Like, even if you get a sorority that like it was unexpected or not like the number one choice for you, like it was meant for you, like you have to trust the system. And then like a year later the girls are like, oh my God, I'm so glad I trusted the system.
Of course, like because you bloom where you're planted. And what, you're gonna go to a sorority and like hate it the whole time?
I love that.
Isn't that a nice saying?
You bloom where, I'm gonna cry. I love that. I need to write that down. You bloom where you, that was the perfect phrase. Where'd you just pick that out of your back pocket? That was exactly what I was trying to say.
I heard it once like 7 years ago, like in a meeting when I was working
corporate,
and it just really resonated with me.
You bloom where you're planted. I love that? And that's exactly, like, trust the system. No, you just have to live there, so you end up having fun. Because
right, what are you going to do?
It's the same thing, just a different name. It's, they're still, like, girls.
And also, it's the same thing.
Right, right.
There's, and everyone is nice and sweet for the most part. You know, there's, yeah, there's the same dynamics everywhere. It's just a different name.
Yeah. As Kiki Popper says, she once wanted to be in a sorority, but they're very political. They really are. Girls can be so fucking mean.
They really are. And then, like, this is like peak sorority Greek life.
And because there's,
this is like Sydney White.
Right. There's, it's like the Southern, but now there's the element of like potential fame. So like the stakes are even higher.
But I kind of like that. You would think, okay, we're, now that Bamarash is like this viral thing, the girl who becomes like the most famous from it is going to get prepped in every single house. But I kind of like how like they don't really care about what's happening. Like, I'm sure they like that they're going viral and that people are into what they're doing.
But they're not,
but
letting, that's it, not impact,
influencing like actually who's going into the right house.
Yeah, I am curious, and hopefully the documentary will cover this. Like, what does the university itself have to say? Has this impacted admissions or like the number of applicants they get? I assume after last year, because you watch it and it looks fun and it's good marketing for the school. It looks like I want to be a part of this. And if I was thinking of maybe applying to like University of Alabama or Auburn, maybe I'll go University of Alabama now.
Right.
So I'm curious if it's had like a positive impact on the school as a business, you know?
I'm sure that it mostly has. I'm also sure like everything else there will be a swing.
Yeah, no. And eventually it'll just become like annoying and like, just brands like, will get involved. I mean, Kendra Scott is like, when Alabama Rush starts, it's like, where do we sign up? Like, they were commenting on everyone, already sending out packages to the girls who they started. Like, I don't think anyone who works for the Kendra Scott marketing team, specifically the TikTok team, has slept in a week.
Okay, well, take a beat. Take a rest.
Because Kendra Scott, like, is
sorority.
And University of Alabama, specifically.
Yeah.
And, like, Lululemon, too. But really, Kendra Scott.
Crazy. Well, that sounds really good. And also, it's perfect for me because I'm not keeping up with it on TikTok, obviously. But I am interested by it in the documentary. I just want to be explained it. I want to see the ins and outs. I want to meet everyone.
And I feel like it's this thing where like a lot of people are talking about it, but also a lot of people are like, what's going on at the University of Alabama? There's like, they know that it's trending, but they're not sure what for. And they definitely don't know how it started. Mm-hmm. So a documentary would be extremely helpful in this case. I hope they can turn it around kind of quickly because they obviously used last week as the breeding ground.
No, it's filmed.
Right.
Really.
So like, get it to us soon.
Soon, please. Thank you very much. Our fifth and final story. These are the nerdiest states in America. Our yes, fifth and final.
Some data.
Human interest, thought-provoking story. Can we're I talking guess? About the nerdiest states.
Okay, I want to guess, but let's talk about what does it mean to be a nerd?
So that's a different question. I'm going to tell you how they judged it.
Okay.
They surveyed more than 1,000 people to ask them about their home decorating habits and analyzed more than 3,100 Google search terms and phrases relating to nerdy house decorations, including terms like Hobbit wreath, Iron Man gaming chair, to crown the nerdiest states in America.
So that's actually an interesting way of
like
gathering data.
And also defining a nerd, like people who are really into books, TV shows, movies, and games.
Being into TV doesn't make you a nerd.
No, but like when it's Game of Thrones.
Right. We're, you go to like Comic-Con.
It's like we're so nerdy.
No, we are. I mean, we're into like electronics. We read. We're really smart.
Are we nerds?
By the way, we're like Kendall. Like, you know, like we're really not like other girls. Like we're kind of like nerdy.
Yeah, I just like kind of love to read and I don't want to, you know, go to parties. I just want to like be home with my Kindle.
And like if I am going to go to a party, like I'll probably just drink a beer because like that's what I like to drink.
And I love Game of Thrones. Like not, you know, I was watching it before everyone was watching it.
And a lot of people were upset with the ending, but like personally, like we understood it, you know, because we read the books.
Where George was coming from.
Right.
And his artistic vision and why Kanye wants people to shop out of trash bags.
Right. Okay. So given that, I think
there's no rhyme or reason to this, honestly.
And is the percentage has to be based on population, right? Just because there's more nerds in California, but it's a bigger, you know?
We've got more nerds in California than Oregon combined.
I was going to say Oregon for the top one.
No. Oregon's number 10, though, so that's pretty good.
Okay. Because, like, people in, like, Portland and, like, that area, like, they're, like, kind of, like, hipster.
Oh, like, yeah, like, Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Washington. But, like, that general area.
Yes, that Pacific Northwest.
It's very, like, granola.
Portland is very, yeah, it's, like, the hipster capital of America.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone knows that.
Yeah. You learned something new.
It didn't say the most hipster state.
I know, but I associate, like, similar vibes.
But, like, hipsters don't watch Lord of the Rings. And that's, like, you know, hipsters read, sure, and they like do certain things. They wear glasses.
There's crossover.
They wear glasses like nerds.
There's a Venn diagram in the middle. There's definitely a crossover
in the middle
between.
Is glasses, but on one side is, you know, like artisanal coffee beans.
Right.
And on the other side is the Hobbit.
Right, right. Going to Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number one, Nebraska.
Oh, shocking.
Number two, New Mexico.
Also shocking.
Number three, Nevada. Shocking because it's Las Vegas.
Yeah, but like, that's literally like 2 miles of all of the state, you know?
I guess. Number four, Utah.
Also shocking.
Number five, Kansas.
Okay.
Six, Arkansas. You know Arkansas is spelled like Arkansas.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Well, actually it's spelled, sorry, that's wrong. It's spelled Arkansas.
Oh, like, did I read it wrong?
These states like are like all the same. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because I'm not familiar like with what the personality type of a typical Arkansas is.
No, but these aren't coastal states.
Right. They're all kind of similar regionally in a sense.
So I guess like it's
landlocked.
Regionally, it's nerdy region.
New York, California is not on there.
No.
Jersey.
No.
Anything in the tri-state area?
No.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Connecticut is number nine.
That's weird. This study makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, no, it was only like 1,000 people surveyed, and I just don't think that's a big enough sample.
I agree, and that's, I think, the problem, the biggest problem with Family Feud. They're asking 100 people. It's not enough.
Yeah. But I just want everyone to know Claudia chose this story.
I did. Well, we have been, like, in, like the last couple of years, added to the weirdest fucking, like,
distros
for like press releases when it comes to like, we have, you know, interviews with gurus, random studies that, and we were looking for stories and I just like check my email. I'm like, oh, we got one. Should we use it? And we
I love a, you know, state by state analysis. I love pitting states against one another in every different way. I love lists, you know, like most popular Halloween costume by state.
Yeah.
Most popular like porn.
You love
by
data.
State. I love data.
I really do. You know who you are? You're a nerd. You love crunching numbers.
I love when the numbers are crunched for me.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm presented with what the data means.
With
and
like a snackable.
And we can extrapolate from the data relevant information.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I was able to extrapolate anything from that moronic study.
Because it was shitty data.
It was a shitty, like, yeah, it was a good concept, but I don't feel like the...
No, and Lombardo Holmes, no offense, you should have spent your efforts looking at the most popular podcast
by state. We're still waiting.
That's what you should have done.
We're still waiting.
We're waiting cautiously, though.
Yeah, no, because, like...
We're scared.
Only release it if we're on it at least once, you know?
Yeah.
If it's not, just, like, throw it in the trash. Say, like, you know, oh, the study has been compromised.
This data has been compromised.
Those were the Fast Five stories. You definitely needed to know every single one of them. And
every
I'm so glad we did.
Last one.
That is our show, our second to last episode of the week. We're back tomorrow. Anything else we need to, like, plug? girlwithnojob.com/tour.
No, Redheads is, you know, always there for you whenever you want to join us.
Always.
Patreon, we have new episodes. We're doing more this week because we're still together. And Patreon is just a lovely community. And then you get access to Toast After Dark. And that's like where all the fun happens.
Truly.
And the Streis brothers love you. And
that's
so
true.
Just remember that. Every Streis brother loves you.
It didn't sound like the sentence was over. Loves you.
I just wanted you to let that sink in.
Left us waiting for more.
I wanted that moment of silence. You, I'm talking to you in your car, you at your desk, you going for a hot girl walk.
You pumping.
Streis brothers love you.
And so do we.
And so do we.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver, oh, sorry, I forgot to update everyone. We were approved for our plaques. They are en route. We had to pay an extra $150 just to get two because like we both deserve
happily.
One for each of our studios. I was like,
I'm
going to
have
like
a really great art wall happening between my plaque, my fuck around and find out.
It's maybe some framed
really
photos of us.
Yes. Photos of the Streis brothers.
Yeah. Some fan artwork. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I'll start building up a little collection.
Sorry, I forgot to update everyone. Like I was waiting for the approval and then it all just happened so fast.
Yeah.
They reached out. I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Us? No. Couldn't be us. So thank you guys because we couldn't do that without you. So,
oh, and I just want to update everyone because I actually am like trying to get TikTok on my iPad.
Oh yeah.
But my charge is not charging on my iPad because it got used to your iPad instead of mine.
No, it was connected to your college email, which recently deactivated.
Yes. So, I can't get into my TikTok account. I'm not making a new one because mine is literal perfection.
Agreed. We have reached out to TikTok. Hopefully they get back to us. If you work at TikTok, like hit us up, please.
Yeah, if you can help me with that.
Oh, wait, there was a girl at the meet and greet yesterday who worked at TikTok. We should have asked her.
I didn't know until last night. Oh. So I'm trying because I really like want to see the fan edits and support the Turpin sisters, but maybe it's not meant to be for me.
No, there's been so much good like user-generated toast content.
I know. I was on TikTok.
Like, I was sending you all them.
I saw.
So hashtag operate mission. No. Operation get Jackie back. Operation get Jackie back on TikTok. Commence. We're on Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an amazing, incredible day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Goodbye.